We pray. Heavenly Father, worker of miracles, you have performed a mighty miracle in giving our lifeless hearts faith to call us your dear children. And so we pray, dear Lord, may your miracles abound in us, that we might be transformed and live in your light. Forgive with your forgiveness. Love with your love, dear Lord. Bless us and enrich us that we might bring glory to your name now and forevermore. Amen. Picture it. The Apostle Peter is fidgeting, rubbing his whiskers and shaking his head. He feels the tight spot he's in with what Jesus has just told the disciples. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. And if he repents, you've won your brother over. Forgive him. Let it go. Release him from his sin. It is over. Peter feared that Jesus' forgiveness might so easily be abused. When is enough enough? It's logical to assume that there must be a limit somewhere out there on forgiveness. 7 times? Either the number of times that someone sins against you or the severity of their sin, certainly at some point must bring forgiveness to an end. Doesn't it? Haven't you heard? Time and time again, if you were really sorry for what you did, you would never do it again. Or that's just too awful to ever be forgiven. So our world thinks. The wheels in Peter's head were spinning and turning. He shuffles up next to Jesus for a little clarification. Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? I wonder if Peter had a particular troublemaker in his life that he thought he had pretty much reached that 7th threshold. Hey, Peter, have you and your wife been fighting lately? Is that why you spend so much time out fishing? Hey, Peter, have those other fishermen been cutting holes in your net? Oh, wait until I get a hold of those scoundrels. Peter, does your family now treat you as some weirdo heretic because you're hanging around with Jesus so much? Jesus answered Peter's question with a story. Picture it. There's a well-dressed, middle-aged man sweating and trembling before the king. He drops to his knees with a thud. The man who once was entrusted with a treasure chest of gold is now poor, bankrupt, broken. And worst of all, now he's going to meet his judgment. For years he had his hand out to the king. Oh, give me more, give me more. And I'll be able to double it, triple it, quadruple it. Oh, king, you will see what a good investment you have in me. But now the man was panicking. The king was settling accounts, and the servant could not pay his debt. The king's verdict? Sell him and his wife and his children in order to pay off the debt. Oh, his wife and his children would be ripped from his arms and put on the auction block for some rich person to purchase them and to use them for whatever they wanted. The servant was gasping and sobbing profusely at the thought of his family being the property of some rich person. And so in order to buy some time, this servant lies to the king's face. Be patient with me, and I will pay back everything. No, he wouldn't. And the king knows he couldn't. Where is he going to come up with that kind of money? Is this how God sees us? Are we that servant beggar, always with our hand out for our daily bread and a little bit more, a little bit more gold, a little bit more power, a little bit more pleasure, Lord, please? Are we that servant that lies right to the king's face? Oh, you don't have to worry, master. Oh, you will receive such loyalty and dedication and love from me. You will agree that this is the best investment you ever made. I will bring you glory and honor. In the king's presence, we can be so humble and lowly and endearing. But as soon as we leave his house, well, do we find ourselves reverting back to the other self? Heartlessly, we rebel against our king and bring shame upon him. That itch for sinful sex, that fiery burn of our ego, the quest to put ourselves above everyone and everything. The hunger to be rich, the salty tears of self-pity, maybe the tantalizing fun of gossiping, did you know, or the seduction of lying. All kinds of wicked rebellion can be found in the king's servants. When we deceive ourselves, what we deserve because of all of our sins, is not our family being thrown into slavery, but for the Lord to plummet us into the depths of that burning fire of hell, where the cries and the screams last for all eternity. Picture Jesus' story. The king gets up from his throne, stands right over this cowering, crying thief. He could have split his head like a watermelon. But Jesus said, the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Wow. The king's heart was filled with love. Love, pure, unconditional, undeserved love. He cared more about his servant than he cared about his well-being. From his heart, he canceled the debt. Now, that isn't just simply erasing a few numbers off of an accountant sheet. No, the king lost a treasure chest of gold that he had given to this servant, not to mention the interest. The thief was set free. No charges, no debt to repay. He had a whole new lease on life, only because of the king's mercy. Who is this king in the story? Wouldn't we love to live under such a king? Well, obviously, the king is Jesus. The mere fact that Jesus took on our human flesh shows Jesus' heart for us, to become one of us in order to save us. His forgiveness is not superficial or trivial. No, Jesus spared no expense. He gave far more than a treasure chest of gold in order to ransom us. The beatings, the whipping, the blood, the Father's anger and damnation that should have been ours, He took upon Himself. He gave His very life for us. Jesus, heart of heart, wanted to forgive us. And that meant He had to suffer and die for us. He suffered the loss so that we might have the gain. Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? Jesus didn't count the expense, but forgave from the heart. Now Jesus tells Peter and all of us also to forgive from our hearts. Picture it. The saved servant went out dancing in the streets. Can you imagine how light his heart was? How joy-filled he was? What a windfall of forgiveness that he could never have dreamed of was now his, released, forgiven. He bumps into Chester, a fellow servant who owes him a couple $100. And what is his response? He chokes Chester. "Give me what you owe me," he said. Chester didn't have the money. It's interesting, though, that Chester says the exact same thing this servant said to this king. "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." The king's forgiveness didn't find a home in the servant's heart. When the servant had the opportunity to love forgivingly, with the forgiving love that his king had upon him, oh, he wouldn't do it. Nope. Forgiving his brother came at too high of a price for him. You see, forgiveness always includes canceling an IOU, ripping it up and throwing it away. Jesus' story takes a sad turn. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you?" In anger, the master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. The Master from his heavenly throne sees everything his servants are doing. We will lose God's forgiveness if we refuse to forgive our brother from our hearts. From our hearts, forgive. And Jesus isn't talking about just lip service. "Okay, I guess I have to forgive you, but you better never do it again. And I just want you to know, I'll always remember it. And the pain is still going to be there." No, that's not forgiveness. Jesus' forgiveness removes the sin as far as the east is from the west. God says His forgiveness is that He remembers our sins no more. His forgiveness desires to live in loving peace with His enemies. We are in great trouble. By nature, we automatically keep score of every wrong ever committed against us. We burn with anger and obsess over replaying the memories again and again. We detail the crime and demand God for justice. And then we lie to ourselves. We lie the worst lies when we assume that we deserve God's forgiveness for our little oopses in life. But our enemy should be smashed into a million pieces for the great crimes against us. We toss and turn throughout the night, either dreaming of their downfall or plotting our revenge. It is a terrible thing to fall under the wrath of God, and it is a wicked thing to want God's wrath to fall on someone. Refusing to forgive is as evil of a sin in our heart as would be lust or greed or arrogance or idolatry. Our bitterness whispers in our ear, who is this God that we should obey him? Our hearts are so evil and deceptive. How can we ever forgive from our hearts? King David prayed, create in me a pure heart, O God. Jesus is not instructing Peter on how to be moral. He is showing Peter how much he needs an entirely new heart. That is what Jesus sacrificed, his salvation, and the Holy Spirit is able to bring to us and do for us. We need a new heart in us. And so we pray for the Holy Spirit to come and cut open our chest through the power of his word. Plunge in your hand and yank out our heart of stone. Oh, Holy Spirit, place Christ's heart in our breast that we might beat with his love and his mercy, that we might be able to forgive from our hearts. When Chester refuses to pay us the hundreds of dollars he owes us, that gives us an opportunity, a very unnatural opportunity for Christ's heart of forgiveness to beat in us, to beat where that old heart used to be, but is no more. When Agnes gossips about us and all of our friends consequently shun and shame us, we can then suffer the loss of our good name in order to forgive Agnes in love. When our spouse screams at us, I wish I had never met you. Christ's heart in us allows us to bear that pain so that we might restore, heal, and live in love again. When rioters burn down our business or curse us to our face, Jesus' heart empowers us to do the impossible, to let God be God. It is mine to avenge, he says. Empowers us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate you, to bless those who curse you and those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. This power is beyond us. This power comes from Christ in us. This power is Jesus' heart within us. Peter asked, how often? Little did Peter understand the hundreds of people he would end up having to forgive, all those who hated him and hated his master. He would live a life of persecution. But Peter would find out that it's very hard to preach forgiveness if he wasn't going to practice forgiveness. Do we want Jesus' forgiving heart to beat in us? Pray for it. Invite him in to possess us more wholly. His forgiving heart will change how we react to everyone in our lives. Jesus insists we must have a forgiving heart, just as he has forgiven us from a heart filled with forgiveness. But there's a funny turn of events with all this. When we have a heart of forgiveness towards those who have done us wrong, it's a great blessing for them. But it's even a greater blessing for us. For then we can spend all of our days light-hearted and filled with the peace of God, the joy of salvation, the love of our Lord that no one can take away from us. It comes from outside of us, our Savior, but dwells powerfully within us through his glorious gospel message. And so we pray with King David, "Create in me a pure heart, O God." The forgiven life that freely forgives others is not a bad life. It is truly a blessed life. Live with Christ's heart of forgiveness for you and with Christ's heart of forgiveness in you. To him be the glory. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Merciful Lord, glorious God, our times are in your hands, and you use them to bring glory and accomplish your holy will for us and through us. Guide us ever onward, dear Lord. May we be putty in your hands, and may we share the glory of your salvation with all around us, not only with our words, but in our actions of forgiving. Bless us, guide us, empower us now and always, that your will may be done. Amen. Please turn